I was praying about what God would have me do in this meeting. And I said, Lord, you know, what do you want me to preach? What do you want me to do? I just don't go to meetings with a bookcase and of sermons, even though I have a lot of sermons and messages and things over the years that I've preached. And I said, God, you know, I said, because every time I get behind a pulpit and minister the word of God, I know it's holy canon. It's very powerful. Changes people's lives. And it's not the way you say it or your personality, but it's the anointing of God flowing and touching different people in different areas and things. So I went before the Lord and I said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? And he said, let's just take a little trip in your back, in the back when you was a kid. Now, when I preach the word of God, I've had some people say, you're very descriptive. When you're telling a story, we can actually see it. Well, what happens is when I start reading Genesis, or if I'm preaching out of Exodus or wherever I'm preaching, I said, God, I can't effectively preach this word of God to get this over to people unless I see this thing. I said, and one time I was preaching on the Ten Commandments, and I said, you know, and I said, God, I said, I got to see. I mean, and I got to understand this death angel mess. I mean, I just got to see this thing. He said, oh, you want to take a trip? I said, yeah, praise God. Why not? You know, and I just, as I began to pray in the Lord, God began to reveal to me different things about that particular time. And I could see that so that when I spoke about it in terms of people, some ministers call it illustration or story, so that people can effectively receive what God is saying. And so I went into my study and I just began to pray. And I said, Lord, what would you have me to say to the people here at Wings of Freedom? He said, well, let's go back in your past a little bit. And so I just began to sit there and just think. And of course, I like motorcycles. And I remember, you know, my mama buying me one. I was about 14 years old, and taking it away from me when I was 14 years old. Same year I got it. Same year they took it away from me. Praise God. Mama used to call them motorcycles. Daddy said, that's why I bought it. Thought boy might kill himself, you know. Daddy was a tough man. Praise God. No, he loved us. And it was a blessing. But I remember one time he went out and bought a motorcycle. And I was just a little boy, about 6 years old, 5, 6, 7 years old. My daddy bought a Harley Davidson 165. How many people know what a Harley Davidson 165 is? And he was going to use it to go to work. And when you get around kids and they see motorcycles, they want to ride them. And boy, and I, when daddy brought that thing, I said, daddy, take me for a ride. And he'd take me for a ride. But I mean, we begin to really bother him bad every day. Daddy, just take me for a ride. And I noticed today I was in the tape tent and Jerry's grandson, I mean, no, he saw motorcycles everywhere, but there was nobody riding the boy. And you could see it in his little eyes. He says, Pawpaw will ride me if I can just find him. And he's just looking around. Where's Pawpaw? And I think Pawpaw's wife wondered where Pawpaw was. Where's Pawpaw? You know, because they just enjoy that. So my mother would always give my daddy a big discourse on how to take care of her kids. And I don't drop that boy and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, hang on to him and all that. And daddy said, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. So I never forget his famous sayings was, because we'd bother him so much, was, we'd say, daddy, give us a ride, daddy. And I mean, first cousin, everybody wanted this ride. And daddy would finally say, okay. And he'd get out there and he'd kick that thing off. And he said, get on, boy. Sit down. Shut up. And hang on. That's full of his statements. Get on the bike, son. Sit down. You know, shut up and hang on. Just hang. Because daddy always did like to drive fast. It didn't go real fast, but to us, it was real fast. And I was thinking about that. And the more I thought about it, get on, sit down, shut up, hang on. I said, that's a Pentecostal sermon. Get on the word of God. Sit down, take it, and don't worry about it. Shut up and just hang on. That's all God ever wants us to do anyway, because it's his kingdom, it's his bike. And we riding it. And I thought, now how am I going to find something in the Bible that says, get on, sit down, shut up, and hang on? I searched diligently. Couldn't find nothing. I was looking. I said, and I thought maybe if I get my strong concordance, I might find the word get on. Then I can do a study on that and sit down and shut up and hang on. And man, them Greeks didn't know much about get on and sit down and shut up and hang on. And Hebrews. And the Lord said, well, you've done all that studying and going through this massive library you got. Why don't you just ask me where to go? I said, I never thought about that. He said, Jesse, you never think of much of nothing. He said, just let me handle this. And he said, you've invented the title, and I'll take care of the rest. I said, okay, turn with me tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The nation of Israel has now been delivered from the clutches of Pharaoh. He told them to let my people go. Moses told Pharaoh, and he's let them go, and they're heading out toward that promised land that floweth with milk and honey. They're all excited about it, but what people don't realize, when you begin to walk by faith, there'll always be an obstacle out there to try to stop you. And I'm going to tell you something about the devil. You can beat his brains out. The Bible said he'll leave you for a season. You know, he just wants to come back at you constantly. And the reason why he hates us so much, because when he sees us as the body of Christ, he just reminds him of what God is, because we're made in his image and in God's likeness. So I was reading this passage of scripture, and the Lord gave me this little sermon that I want to minister to you today. And it's Exodus chapter 14, and I want to start reading with verse 12. And the Bible reads here in the King James Version, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." They've noticed the Pharaoh's army is coming after them. Now notice Pharaoh's coming behind them, and the Red Sea is in front of them. Now they don't forget about all them great miracles God done. I mean, he put in there about 9 million frogs in one day. I mean, just, you know, pretty good stuff. I mean, my God turned the Nile River to blood and water, you know, just turned it red, done wonderful things. But it's amazing how easily we forget when our first trial comes. So they start telling Moses, immediately they're ready to go back and sit down in slavery that they've been praying to God for 400 years to be delivered from. Don't that sound churchy? Don't that sound churchy? My God. The first obstacle, well, bless God, we don't want to get in this stuff. Let's just go back into slavery. At least we'll have something to eat. Now notice that. Now like Moses. Moses jumps up in verse 13 and says, "And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Don't that sound like a faith man? I mean, that boy talking good. Got the Red Sea in front of him, Egyptians behind him, and a bunch of wild, crazy people in between. The most unpopular pastor to ever walk in shoe leather, Moses. 3 million people in his congregation, and 2 liked him. That's why they never had no voting, praise God, because he'd have been out on the first vote. Now, no, he stands up and says something powerful. And read with me verse 14, and he continues, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Now, don't that sound good? But there's some problems between verse 14 and verse 15, because the Lord begins to tell on Moses what Moses is thinking. Now, he says this great faith proclamation, bless God, look at them now, because you'll never see them again. The Lord shall fight for you, and you're going to hold your peace. That sounds powerful. But look what God says about Moses in verse 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou out to me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward." Notice this, that Moses is saying, I tell you, God's going to deliver you. But inside he's saying, I'm in a bind, Jack. I never did like these people to start with. And Lord, if you don't do so, I'm going to look like the biggest idiot in town. Now, he's saying this inside. And God says, what's the matter with you? What are you crying out to me for? Tell the people to get up and go forward. In other words, get on the bike. Get on. Go forward. What does it mean to get on? It means to go forward. The law of Christian life is advanced. For centuries, the church has been retreating. They said, man, you know how God is. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. If you'll understand this word of God, you'll have a hard time staying sick. You'll have a hard time staying poor. You'll have a hard time staying bitter. The power of God will flow in your life. But you got to get on. You got to go forward. The law of Christianity is advanced. Not just back up and go eat some onions with the devil. That's what they want to do. We got onions and leeks. But man, my God, all you're going to have is a devil and bad breath the rest of your life. You understand what I'm saying? So the law of Christian life is advanced. What he was saying was, tell the people to go forward. In other words, get on the bike, boy. You can't go nowhere till you get on the bike. And that's what daddy would tell me. Just get on the bike. And I'm trying to get on the bike and burn my leg. And daddy have to pray for my leg. Bless God. Because in those days, those bikes were made not to ride children. Yeah, they didn't put too many coverings on the thing. He'd burn your leg and bust you and hurt you. He said, just get on. He said, just tell the people to go forward. So what does it mean? Get on means to go forward. Progress is a great test of Christians. It's a great test of Christianity. A high ideal will produce the inspiration of conduct. I made up my mind, bless God, that anybody can quit. Anybody can backslide. Anybody can, I mean, you know what? Anybody can sin, but how many people can walk in a sin world and live holy before Jesus Christ through the power of His name? You can do it because greater is He who's in you than He who's in the world. Glory to God. You can because God said you could, but you got to get on. You got to move. I mean, you got to get on the thing. And Daddy said, get on it. I'll never forget the first time I ever tried to get on an escalator. I mean, you know, you make several stabs at it, bless God, you know. And if your wife's with you, she say, you go first. That way, if you get crippled, she'll get the money, bless God. You understand what I'm saying? And man, I've had problems. They got those things in the airport. Man, they like to kill myself. They just, you know, you can stand and it's moving sidewalks or you can walk. Man, I got on that thing and I started walking. I mean, walking fast. I was hooking them, boy. I said, glory to God. And I was coming to the end and my mind said, stop, fool. Man, I come flying off that thing and I hit a woman. Just, I hit the woman. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, ain't my fault, that thing. And that's the truth that happened in Atlanta, praise God. And I was, man, I didn't realize how fast I could move on that thing until the time to get off of it. But to get on it, how many of y'all have done that time? You went, and you try to look cool. Then you go, you don't want to look like an idiot, bless God. He said, Moses, what are you crying out to me for? Just tell the people to get on. Get forward, boy. Now there's a Red Sea in front of you. Now we're going to do it. God says, go forward. We go, yeah, amen. No, I ain't doing that. Now people say, how did God open up the Red Sea? The Bible said with the blast of His nostrils, God blew His nose and the water blew open. Bless God. Hallelujah. He just blew His nose and the Red Sea said, no, we don't want this on us. Bless God. And just opened up a path. I never forget one time I was praying so hard and I said, the power. When I said the power, I blew my nose right on a woman's blouse. It was embarrassing. She went, ha, ha. I said, knock her down, God, knock her down. She went out and I got my handkerchief and wiped it off. I didn't want her and I was embarrassed. What are you looking at me? You've done it too. I bet every time you vacuum your car, you get this and some of that carpet. You ever notice most people clean their nose when they're driving their car? You ever notice that? Or you see them do this. I know it's a bit gross, but the reason why you're laughing, because every one of you done it. I've seen people do that in motorcycles, look like pizzas on them mufflers. What I'm saying, go forward. Get on. You can't ride this bike until you get on it. You can look at it and say, boy, that's wonderful. Glory to God, look at that thing. Whoo! Yeah, I mean, you can shine it and just rub it. But it ain't going to take you nowhere until you get on it. You got to get on it. Notice when you go to buy one, the salesman tell you, get on it. Now, if you ain't got no money, they say, stay off of it. You ever notice that? They check you out. Do you think you got no money? They put them signs up. Don't get on it. But if they think you got a few bucks, just get on the thing. Just feel the thing. That's what God was telling Moses here. Now, He told him to get on before He opened up the Red Sea. Notice God will always rebuke the storm, or He will always rebuke faith before He, or the lack of faith before He rebukes the storm. He looked at those men and said, oh, ye a little faith. Then He rebuked the storm. Think about that. In other words, bless God, He wouldn't have had to even do that if we'd have just lived the way Jesus said to live. So Moses tells him this. Listen, through God, God says, just tell him to go forward, Moses. I brought you out this far. You think I'm going to sandwich you in between the Red Sea and the Egyptians? I done whipped him. But Moses saying the same thing. I am in a bind. Have you ever got around a lot of people tell you you're in a bind all the time? Boy, you come out victorious and glorious, and there they are. I tell you what, we should have never left. That's your fault, bless God, while we're going. You know, every time I've ever went on vacation, praise God, everybody said, great, glory to God, but if something go wrong, why'd you tell us to go on this vacation? Well, I didn't mean for the water pump to blow up. Well, but why can't you fix the thing? Well, you know, it's my fault, you know. And the kids say, we never wanted to come neither. And them lying little devils, they've been wanting to go for years. Notice that, but boy, they got to sit in that car and sweat a little bit. My mother and father never bought a new car except one time in 1955. I'll never forget it. We had a 1955 Crown Victoria Ford. How many people remember that? I was a fine car. My dad is excited, man. We drove it out and was driving home. We drove all day and he said, let's go see grandma. So we drove, we were down in Venice, Louisiana. We was driving at night and a terrible accident happened, right? And we drove up on it and there was a man full of blood standing in the road. And I'll never forget me and Wayne, we were in the back seat, man. We saw that guy. Daddy said, we're going to have to pick him up and bring him to the hospital. And mama said, oh no, he's going to get blood all over our new car. I said, yeah, Daddy, don't listen to mama. Listen to mama. And I never, Daddy said, we can't let the man die on the road. I mean, that man was bleeding and cut to pieces, went through the windshield, split him open. We had to bring him to Port Sulphur. Anybody know where Port Sulphur, Louisiana is? Yeah. Praise God. I mean, you ain't never been back neither. Praise God. Anyway, once you've been to Port Sulphur, you had enough. Boy, he got in there, and I never forget him. I was scared of him, and he just looked at me, just bleeding. And anyway, that blew, and it got all over. My God, but thank God the man didn't die. I mean, he got stitched up. He was cut up real bad. And mama said, I tell you, we just can't get new without messing up something. She said, I'm glad I brought the man, but good Lord, he could have bled outside the car. No, and then she said, oh, Lord, your mom and them had just got saved. She's a baby Christian. They didn't know nothing. They just, well, God, forgive us. And I said, Mama, I tell you, Mama, I heard Mama repent. She said, oh, Father, forgive her. Forgive me for even thinking like that. But you know, this is the only new thing we ever had in our life. Glory to God. Just thank you. Oh, Father, I receive it. And I saw Daddy, glory to God. I said, boy, Mama, he got a big blood spot. Oh, I don't know why we ever picked that guy up. She went back immediately because of lack of teaching. You'd be surprised how quick you can back up because of lack of teaching. Now, I can expect the children of Israel saying, listen, why don't we just go back? Because sometimes the only way to get out of a situation is to go back from the natural. But God hadn't blown his nose yet. I want you to understand that. So he said, get on. What does that mean? He said, my God, tell the people to go forward. Like Daddy told me, just get on the bike, boy. Sit down, shut up, and hang on. We're going to make this thing work. And every time I did what he said, I had a great ride. It was wonderful. But you've got to get on first. What I'm saying is the law of Christian life is advanced. You people that come the wings of freedom. You know, I've had motorcycles. They're the greatest tools to witness for Jesus, especially if you wear a helmet. Because they don't know who you are. And then hardly nobody can outrun you. I've got up on the side of people, bless God, in a motorcycle with that helmet on. And I said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And they get fear in their eyes. And they just take off. And I'm on the side of them. Just running, praying in tongues. I've done that so many times, it's wonderful. You never get embarrassed because they can't see you. Just keep the shield down there. And you can preach the word of God. I've done it many times. One time I had a lacy roller. I'm like, Kumamo Shukarabandareba Kasata. She went, ha! Come on, Sokotayalaba! And just start speaking in tongues to me. I start looking around for an interpreter. Praise God, man. I mean, we had a red light. I had me a Christian on my hand. It was fun, man. We spoke in tongues from light to light. That's a true story. On Airline Highway, one of the worst streets in New Orleans, Louisiana. Just preaching the word of God. You can do it with a motorcycle. You walk out, because you just walk in, hey, how you doing? Boy, and just minister the word of God. And ain't nobody can get away from you because you faster than they are. That bike will stay with a car. If your bike don't stay with a car, get you another bike. That's all I can tell you. If you don't stay with a car, get another bike. So he said, hey, tell them to go forward. In other words, what he's saying, the law of Christian life, Moses, is to go forward. Not back up. I don't believe in backing up. Go forward. Progress is a great test, Moses, of being a child of the king. A high ideal will produce the inspiration of conduct. People say, why are you so happy? I've had many people that know me say, you're just so full of joy. Well, I'm going to heaven, man. I done got on the vehicle. Do you understand? My ticket's paid for. Glory to God. It's wonderful. I can't lose. It's impossible. What happens if the devil kill you? I'll come back and torment him. I'll come back. You can't kill a Christian. They come back. They will come back. Every Christian that's died of a sickness and disease that knows Jesus Christ is coming back. They're coming back and the devil going to see him and go, wait a minute. Didn't we kill that guy in 1969? That guy said, I'm back. You can't kill him. because they got on to eternal life. You can't kill them. It's impossible. So just get on. In other words, go forward. We have never once backed up in our ministry. We've had many opportunities to fail. We just didn't take any. We've had many opportunities. We're from Louisiana. There's great opportunities to fail. People say, why are you getting excited? Well, I stopped going to hell in a bathroom of all places, a bathroom. I was at Kenneth Copeland's Ministries this week learning some different things about their ministry to help us in our ministry. They got some fine bathrooms. Oh, I tell you, I went in that bathroom. I don't know what floor I'm on because I can't figure it out half the time, you know, because they got that stone rock and all look the same to me. And I went in that bathroom. No one was in there. And I like to check out the acoustics. Hey. And I'd say, I'm saved. Glory. Go. Hallelujah. Hey. So that's why I get excited about bathrooms. Because I get saved there. I never went to a bathroom I didn't shout. I went to the bathroom, it was all full. I went, glory. Somebody left. They just... I've preached in bathrooms. I've learned to get on this thing. I wait till they go into them closets and close them doors. I got them. I know I got them. They can't go nowhere. Just trust me. I know I got them. How do you know? Because faith cometh by hearing. I know I got them. And I've stood right in front of them stalls and preached the word of God. I tell you, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. And you can hear trying to drown out my voice. I've done that. And you know, people say, I'd never do that. Well, bless God, if you get depressed, I would get you out of depression. He said, get on. That's what Daddy told me. Boy, just get on the bike. Then he said, number two, sit down. He didn't ask me to drive the bike. But most people want to drive the bike. He just said, sit down. What does sit down mean? Sit down mean the battle is not yours. Moses tells these people in verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you. You know what's wrong with the Christian church? We're fighting. And sad to say, we're not fighting the devil, we're fighting each other. What do you want to fight for? The devil's under your feet. You'd have to lay down on this bed, truck bed, and pick your foot up to slap the boy. The battle is not yours. The victory's yours. What you do is stand. That's not the easiest thing to do sometimes. When you've done all, the book of Ephesians says that. Stand. Sit down. Relax. Casting all you can. Just don't worry about it. Yeah, but that's not easy. I never said anything. Nothing's easy. It takes commitment to God's principle if you're going to live for Jesus. So he said, the Lord shall fight for you. Now, he didn't say, all right, everybody get together and we're going to do the best we can against these guys in these chariots. No, he just said, the Lord shall fight for you. What does that mean? The salvation of your life must be God's from first to last. Do you understand? From first, the day you get saved, you're no longer your own. The salvation you depends upon God from that moment until you see him face to face. From first to last. As you grow in the Lord, you ought to get so relaxed in Jesus Christ. But usually we get more in torment because we've been taught to fight instead of taught to stand. He said, sit down. That means simply the Lord shall fight for you. How do I sit down? How do I sit still? Well, you sit still in one, trust, in two, in prayer, and three, expectancy. When I sit down and I've done all I know to do with God, I start praying. And I say, Father, I thank you that you're my God. I trust you. I've had people say, you have a really a good marriage. People that really know me personally. Say, I know a lot of people, but I have very few friends. Very, very few. Well, I'm never home enough, I guess, to make real close friendships, but I know a lot of people, but I totally trust my wife and she totally trusts me. It's called trust. It's trust. And the more I find the more we're married, and Kathy looks like my daughter, but she's not. I mean, I'm only 3 years older than the woman. That's a promise on television. But she looks like my daughter. But you know, after a while, I know what she's thinking. She knows what I'm thinking. And I know as you grow in love, you don't see yourself getting older. If you really love each other, your love gets stronger. Cause why? You're at rest with each other. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what he said. And we don't fight.
Now, we've had disagreements, me and Kathy, and I've quoted scripture to her. I've used the word of God against the woman. Obey me. Submit to your husband. Call me Lord. She said, when you do what Abraham done, I'll call you Lord, you little thing. Okay. And I was wrong. I've had God just rebuke me in my dealings with my wife. I'm a stupid man. I have argued with the Lord. I said, you don't understand these things, God. You never been married. You just don't understand. He said, I totally understand. Then there's been times I've learned, bless God, that God would not give me something. He's going to give it to her. And she just comes. She said, this is what God said. Thus saith the Lord and Kathy. Praise God. Bob said, two of you agree. God's one, she's two. Huh? Yes, what do you want me to do? In other words, the battle's not mine. Sit still in trust. Sit still in prayer. Sit still in expectancy. The battle is not yours. I never forget one time I was a small child. We was with mom in a grocery store. Grocery stores were very important in my mother's life. We didn't have nothing else, man. Grocery store. I mean, to her, security was if there was food in that house. Now, brother, when there wasn't much food in that house, mama was nervous about something. I mean, she'd go check the freezer 3 or 4 times. And it was always full. Food in there, 5 years old, they just keep stacking more in there. You know, how many people know what I'm talking about? Food was security to my mama. We never starved. Mama weighed 220 pounds. It took a long time for that woman to starve. I had an aunt that weighed 600 pounds. She came to my house and asked to use the bathroom. I said, you can't. She said, why? I said, you won't fit. She said, what am I going to do? I said, well, there's a Shell station at the end of the corner there. She looked at my bed. She said, I can't fit. So I drove her to the Shell station. But food was a security to those people. Mom and them didn't have much. So if that cupboard was full, everything was fine. Everything was fine. And we never went hungry a day in our life. We always had more food. We Cajun people. We can cook, man. We cook things out of ditches that nobody would ever eat. We will boil it and drive it to Texas and sell it to you for $7 a pound. So we're not as dumb as we act, praise God. In other words, her life would have been much greater, and she had a great life, but it would have been much easier if you just sit down. It's kind of like telling a kid to be quiet. Sit down.
Sit down.
You ever had your mama grab you and go, sit down? You ever be in church and your mother lean over and says, I'm going to kill you as soon as this message is over with? How many of y'all ever experienced that? My mother could worship God, speak in tongues, and slap me at the same time. I've seen her do it, man. Glokobashakata. And no kujita, just pray in tongue and beat the fire out of me at the same time. How many of y'all had a mama like that? Y'all know what I'm talking about. All she ever wanted me to do was sit down. That simply means this. Relax. This is not your battle. This is mine. Faith expresses itself in obedience to a command. Let me say that again. Faith expresses itself to obedience or into obedience to a command. The reason why people's faith is not working it or working is because they're not commanding their faith, or their faith is not commanding them. It expresses itself in obedience to a command. It waits for an order. I get up every morning, my face says, what shall I do for you this day, Jesse Duplantis? What? I'm waiting for a command. What shall it be? And I shall obey it. But if I try to do that, it don't work. You see, I got to sit down and let this work for me. But it's not easy. That's what Moses was telling these people. The Lord shall fight for you. That's what God was saying. My daddy was telling me on the motorcycle, son, get on the bike. Now just sit down. Quit playing with the gear shift. In those days, they used to have gear shifts on the side. Those big old hogs. Well, 165 didn't. But I mean, you know, and I've rode some. Trying to play with something. Opening up something. Just sit down. Just sit down, son. And my daddy always put me on the bike before he did. I think he did it on purpose. Then he'd go like this. Just kick me with that boot when he'd go over on that bike. And mama said, why don't you get on the bike and let the boy get on the bike? And he never did. I think he done that on purpose. I really do. Kicked me every time like he got on that bike. In other words, just sit down. Now let's deal with the next place. Shut up. What the shut up means? Notice in verse 14 it says, "And you shall hold your peace." The hardest thing to do is when you're standing, and listen, there's God flowing all over the place. Pillar of fire, man, that word going on. Red Sea in front of you. Egyptians behind you. All you got to do is shut up. And you're going, just shut up. Oh, now what does that mean? Control your thoughts. You know why people sin? Because they don't control their thoughts. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Keep you longer than you want to stay. Charge you more than you want to pay. Then you lie like a dog. You say, I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why. I don't know why I did what I did, Lord. Lie, you fry. You know why you did what you did. Don't insult God's intelligence. You sound like a kid. Why'd you do that? I don't know. Well, maybe this will help you. Why'd you do it? After about four licks, you come up with something. Usually you blame somebody. Every time my mother caught me, I said, gee, why'd you do that, Jesse? Because Wayne made me do it, Mom. I was a bad kid. See, I tried to set my mother and father against each other when I was getting about ready to get beat, man. My mother did not spare the rod. She said, Jesse, why'd you do that? Because Daddy said I could. He said he didn't care what you said about it. He said if he said it, that's fine. And all of a sudden, all attention was taken off me. Mama'd start walking. Bless God, and them hips was moving with her. Bless God. And she said, I will tell you something, Paul. You told that kid that? No, I didn't tell that kid. You know, Paul, you've been lying ever since I met you. No, I didn't tell that kid that. Boy, you told your mama I said that? I went, yeah, Dad, I heard you say it. I was lying like a dog. Mama, believe me. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my God. Daddy slept on the couch many times because of my lies. That's true. How many of your kids try to use you against each other? Yeah. They're deceptive little people. They need to be taught the word of God with great illustration. Shut up means to control the thoughts. Now, notice what... Now, here's something. This is a thought that really ministered to me because I've wondered why great men and great women of God spoke great, powerful, anointed things. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Look at the Egyptians. Look at them one more time because you're not going to see them again. Bless God from this day forth. God's going to blow his nose and a blast of his nostrils is going to open this thing. We're going to walk out on dry ground. That sounds powerful. But see, God tells on Moses his thoughts. He wasn't controlling his thoughts. So God tells Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Look, you done told him everything I'm going to do. Why are you saying, come on, God, do something? He said, I know what I'm prepared to do, but Moses, what are you prepared to do? Now, this is what I'm saying. Unbelief sometimes hides itself behind a form of devotion. Brother Dale, talk it. It's a form of devotion. You think, praise God, man. That guy, that woman's got it together. But inside, they're crumbling. Now, God's going to expose it. You can take it to the bank. See, unbelief hides itself behind a form of devotion. This was devoted words. Moses standing up in front of 3 million people, bunch of chariots about to eat his lunch. Red Sea hadn't opened up yet. And he's saying, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And you just watch this. You'll never see the Egyptians anymore. And I know what he's doing. I hope this works. Bless God. I just hope this works. If this don't work, I'm going to kill myself. I'm in trouble. God, if you don't do something, help me now. And God said, what are you crying out to me for? You done told him everything I'm going to do. Just walk. What he was doing, he was hiding behind a form of devotion. Now, don't get mad at the man. You got to realize you got 3 million people saying, we want to go back and be slaves. And here's a man that gave his life for these people and left the riches of Egypt to suffer with people that didn't like him. Now think about the person you don't like right now. And you'd have to be on a desert with them. And you'd have to be their leader. And they don't like you. And everything you try to do, they come against you. And even cause problems in your family. They don't like the woman you married. Don't like Moses marrying that woman. That Ethiopian woman, bless God. He didn't check with us about it. And they begin to murmur. That's not easy to not get bitterness.
I like a statement once said by a ministry, don't get bitter, but get better. It's hard to love some people. Let's just be honest. Ain't no use to lie. You want to hug them, but they're not a thorn in the flesh. They're bushes, boy. They're stone crabs. You know, they got them big pinches. You know, and it's not easy. But Jesus said, if you learn to control your thoughts, think on these things. That's a very important scripture in the Bible. Think on this. Whatsoever, love, just, good report. Good. In other words, think on those things. I have the responsibility to control what, on what I think. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what you put in front of your eyes will activate what's in your head. I wanted to go. I decided, everybody was telling me about this show, Rocky. Yes, you like Rocky? Yeah. So I went and see Rocky. Boy, and it started the fight scene. After a while, I began to say, hit him. Come on. Watch him. Watch him. Hit him. Look at him. He's picking him up off the canvas. I start talking to people. People going, shh, 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 shh. I don't see how they can do that when there's a fight going on. Hit him. I found myself standing up in the chair. Hit him. Hit him. And nobody was watching the movie. They're just looking at me. And I went, excuse me. Excuse me. And the man asked me, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a motivational speaker. You got to learn the tricks of the trade sometimes. I enjoy that. And Kathy hates me to watch a boxing match on television. When I saw Marvelous Marvin Hagler and what's that other guy's name? Sugar Ray and the other man. What's the three-round fight? Thomas Hearns. I was standing. I mean, I was, you thought I was praying. I was on top of my couch. Come on. Yeah. Kathy, in that great spirit, she said, why don't you get excited like that about God? Just destroys your evening when people say those things. Just destroys your evening. I said, I am excited. You know, what are you saying? What you put in front of your eyes produces what you think. So don't give me this hogwash that you can't stop or control your mind. You do that by controlling your eyes. Are you understanding me? How do you get rid of bad thoughts? Burn bad pictures. I'm telling you the truth. A show, a movie will motivate you. It does. That's why a lot of men don't like to watch love stories. Because men don't like, they love their wives. They love their girlfriend. But they have a hard time saying that. Because we've been taught to be men. You're a man, boy. Don't show no emotion. What he's saying is control your thoughts. So that woman look at you, say, honey, I just tell you something. I love you. And that man goes, me too. Which makes a woman mad, man. They want to hear them words. Can't you say it? What's wrong with you? How about a little back? Come here, say something. You know, because they want to hear that. And that's good. And I think we need to. Now listen to this. Life is made up of rash beginnings and premature endings. That does happen. The devil sometimes will make you think the only way you can get out of this situation if you go toward him. That's what he had the Israelites thinking. We better get back to Egypt. At least we might have been slaves. At least we got something to eat. They won't kill us. See, life is made up of rash beginnings and premature endings. So how do I stop that, Brother Jesse? How do I keep this going? Only when sound words are uttered will faith bring you to a certainty. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, hold fast the form of sound words. Sound words. Gloria taught me something at the Believers' Convention. She said that salvation, the definition is soundness. And I like that. And I've really been using that. Listen to that Cajun coming out of me a little bit. But soundness. So now when I deal with people that don't know Jesus, I say, hey, man, let me tell you something. Do you want to be sound financially? Yeah. Sound physically? Yeah. Sound spiritually? Then they go, what? Spiritually? Yeah. I mean sound in every fabric of your being. Yeah. I said, you need salvation. Salvation. It's soundness, man. Hold fast the form of sound words. I can get somebody saved quicker than they can get me into sin. I've learned something about God. God says, greater is he who's in me than he was in the world. I live in one of the most sinful cities in America, and that's New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm telling you, that's a sinful city. And what's controlling that city is a religious demon. I'm telling you, it's a religious demon. It's sought in religion.
And he says, you can do anything you want. Because the next day, brother, we fast. It's called the Big Easy. That's right. Yeah. But I'll tell you what, we're going to win. We're going to win. I've stood on them streets, brother. It ain't easy when people are spitting in your face. That ain't easy when you got the power to call fire down from heaven and burn a few of them. I've thought about it many times. One time a guy spit at me. And you know, spit don't feel good when it's not your spit. He said, I don't believe that preacher. So, spit me, man. And I thought, huh. And the Lord said, they spit in my face. I heard it because he knew God knew Tabasco sauce was running up my legs right there. He knew I didn't learn to control my thoughts, man. And the Lord said, they spit in my face. That's not easy. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't like that. And I looked at him and said, I'm going to tell you something. God said, greater is he who's in us than he was in the world. And that's in the Bible. I said, in the Bible is a man called fire down from heaven. You better move out the way. And he just looked at me and I went, God, and he took off. I was glad. He said, what, you going to call fire down? I was doing my best. I want God to fry that boy. I did. And before he died, I'd have got him saved. Then let the fire burn him. Let me tell you something. There's something in the Holy Ghost that'll come out of you and you'll do things you never thought you would do. But you will not do it until you shut up with your own mind, your own thoughts, and speak the things of God. Hold fast the form of sound words. Only when sound words are uttered will faith bring you to a certain, to a reality that God's word won't return void. Now I'm preaching on get on, sit down, shut up. Now let's deal with hang on. What does hang on mean? There's no turning back. There's no turning back. Why would you want to backslide? There's three things about this statement called hang on. And listen to it. There can be no going back, number one. There must be no going back, number two. There need be no going back, number three. Now remember this. You don't like slavery. You don't like to be destroyed by a devil. God's got you out of that. You, if the Red Sea don't open up, you'll walk on the water. Either way, you going to the promised land. Now let's deal with there can be no going back. Why? Why can't there be no going back? Because you've seen the vision. Going back would produce slavery and death. I've seen the vision. I've seen that vision. And I saw his hands outstretched. Said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. The man asked me, how come you don't have trouble? I said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It didn't say, though I stop, build a house. He said, though I walk through, I'm walking through. I'm not stopping by. Build a house or build a cathedral or build a church and say, we're in the valley. We're in the valley. You're going to get that valley syndrome. No, he said, though I walk through the valley. Now notice he said, the Lord's my shepherd. He maketh me. He didn't ask you. He got to make you sometime lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What is he saying yet? Sit down. The battle's not yours. The victory's mine. Have a cup of coffee and a donkey. Not a donkey, a donut. Glory to God. I knew that. No, I just blew that. Praise God. A cup of coffee and a donkey. Now that would be a combination. A donut. He said he prepares the table before my enemies. Do I look red? I'm not a donkey. Edit that out on that tape, praise God. I can hear the Lord. A donkey and a cup of coffee, Jesse. You ever had the Lord laugh at you? Oh, he's done it to me many times. He said, I maketh me to lie down. That means, shut up. Most children don't sleep until you make them sleep. How many of you grabbed your kid and hold their eyes? I've learned something about children. They don't sleep unless they've been beat twice. I saw a man the other day trying to tell his kid to go to, and he had to take, he said, see that belt? See that belt? See that belt? You got to say it four or five times. We say it in Cajun, come see. Which means come here. You text and say, come here. We say, come see, come see, come see. Or you'd say, come here. But a child don't hear that once. You got to send 15 to 20 of them. Come here. 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 Come. You know, they don't get it the first time. You know what I'm saying? So we say it in Cajun stuff. Come see. I say, boy, I say, come see. Oh, we do it in French. NYC, bub. Or we do it in English. Brought yourself over here right now. I'm going to pass my hand on your head.
Every Cajun baby understand that statement. But it's not just one time. You got to send a barrage of them to get them out there, you know, before they can finally understand it. What are you saying?
There can be no going back. Why? Because you've seen the vision. Going back would produce slavery and death. I made up my mind. I'll just tell you something. I'd have a hard time backsliding. I'll give you something better than that. You've heard me say it before. I got a hard time sinning. And I'll tell you why. Not because I'm some great man of faith and power. No. I tell you what it is. It's controlling thoughts. I'm interested in hearing what God said. Kind of stirred me up so much this week. My God, I said, and they put us in a beautiful apartment. And I mean a great bed. That bed is wonderful. Bless God. I've been sleeping. But he started talking to me about the covenant. Now I'm a covenant man because the title of my ministry or the title of my magazine is Voice of the Covenant. The name of my television show, Voice of the Covenant. And, you know, Kenneth goes, you know, Jesse. And what's so funny, I follow him. I go, what, Kenneth? And Gloria's saying, we want to go home, Kenneth. And he spoke something about the covenant, just went off inside of me. I mean, just went off. And he started talking a little bit about the prodigal son, the parable. And it went off of me. So I went back to the thing, and Kathy said, boy, we really appreciate them being so kind to us. It's helping us do some things and that nature that God's putting in our ministry to help us to learn these things. And so I'm trying to go to sleep, and in my mind, I see Ken going, well, just... Man, I thought I was sleeping, but I was doing this on the bed. I said, man, I look at Kathy and she, I said, she ain't a covenant woman. That's the problem, bless God. I mean, that's on my mind. And you know, I'm glad that's on my mind. Because that's the mind of God. That's the thoughts of God, see? Do you understand what I'm saying? There can be no turning back. We've signed a blood covenant. It's forever. There can be no going back, number one. There must be no going back. Why? There must not be. Don't you shouldn't even think about why. Freedom, wings of freedom, will not allow you to pay for the same real estate twice. You don't crucify Jesus Christ twice. I'm a student of history. I love history. And one of my favorite characters of history, and I have a lot of books on World War II and World War I and different things, is General George Patton. I liked his get up and his go. And I found out through one of his children on an interview that he would stand in front of a mirror and practice his look. Now, she said that. This is one of his. But he said something one time when they were fighting the Germans there. And that American army went quicker than any other army in that time, captured more land and more prisoners than any other in history that records were ever taken. But he went to a beach one time and they were just blowing everybody up. And they called him old blood and guts and things of that. And they said, our blood, his guts, you know. And he had a problem with not learning to shut up sometimes, you know. And Dwight Eisenhower even said that about him. But he had something in him that was a great quality. And people were dying all around. He walked out on that beach and he said, there's only two kind of people going to stay on this beach. Now, they're bombs blowing up all over the place, bullets. And he's standing up, see? He said, there's only two kind of people going to stay on this beach. It's the ones that's dead and the ones that's going to die. Now, get up and take that hill. And they took it. He realized this, that freedom costs something. But why pay for the same real estate twice? There must be no going back. I refuse. Once I have won a battle of faith on a situation, I refuse to let the devil even talk to me about that situation anymore. That battle's been won, fought, paid for. I'm past. I'm going on. And if he says, yeah, but I have no time for that. Sometimes he tries to disguise it. It's the same battle you just fought, but with a different color of paper on. I know what that battle is. My God, I laid on that beach and that devil bombing with everything he had. But I took it. I refuse. I will not have anything to do with something that I've already conquered. If you've conquered cigarettes, I don't care if people blow in your face with tons of Camels. It should not bother you. You've won that battle. You don't. Why do you have to repent over the same sin that you asked God to forgive you for? I refuse to fight or pay for that real estate twice. I don't have that kind of time. I had a man telling me one time, he said, God totally delivered me of drinking. He said, you know what, I hadn't drank in 7 years. Then he heard somebody say, once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. If, you know, I don't know, was some society said that. I don't know who it was. Once I've got to watch it. And he said, man, I begin to have temptation. I said, sir, you defeated alcoholism years ago. You don't pay for that real estate twice. You just hang on, son. You're going forward. He said, be steadfast, immovable, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. For I know my labor is not vain in God. There's a scripture in the Bible I love. Paul said, I'm in this prison, but the word of God's not bound. Brother, you may be on your back, but the word of God coming out of your mouth, no devil can stop it. It cannot be bound. It binds. It is not bound. It binds. And it binds in the name of Jesus. So there must be no going back simply because freedom will not allow you to pay for the same real estate twice. God will not allow Israel to go back and live with them Egyptians. He done taken care of that. So there can be no going back. There must be no going back. And finally, there need be no going back. There's no need to go back. Why? There's a reason why. Backsliding will only desecrate those who have died decently for the cause. I made up my mind. Let me tell you, this first church died for me. The preachers that I am, the elderly minister, every once in a while I like to go sit down with an elderly minister. You know, and my God, I may be flying in a plane to a meeting. He was using a machete to get to him. You understand? I mean, he was walking and hitchhiking. He was cutting roads, bless God, before I was ever born. Why? For me to backslide and turn my back and go back to the devil would desecrate that man's great ministry or that woman's great ministry. And brother, every time I think, if I ever get in my mind that I want to think of being depressed, you people say, boy, you got joy. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul died for me as well as Jesus. They stood for me. Peter, James, and John, Bartholomew, all of them. They gave their life blood for this ministry. The least I can do is stand up and stand accountable just like those men were. I'm not saying it's easy. And I'm pretty sure even Paul said only Luke's with me. And I'm pretty, you know, you want people around you when they're about ready to kill you. But there cannot be no going back because it would desecrate the wonderful people that held the banner of Jesus high. In the midst of it all, I've read many missionaries giving their life to God on some foreign field. Brother, I am not going to desecrate that man's blood, much less the blood of Jesus Christ. So what are you saying? Hang on. There can be no going back. There must be no going back. There need be no going back. I made it my mind. You know, Brother Kobe, you've made it a lot easier for me. I've been in the ministry 16 years. You've been in a lot longer. I had a lot easier than you did. From the very beginning, I did. Because you cut down some highway. You cleared some street for me. You cleared me. I started mine on a two-lane highway. You started yours on a trail. I tell you what, Jesus tarries, the next generation of preachers want to start on the interstate. Do you understand that? It's foundation, brother. It's laying down. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. When I see an elderly gentleman, an elderly woman stood on the word of God and just believed God's word. I saw a little woman passed away no more than about 4 weeks ago. I used to know her real, real well. I hadn't seen her about 5 years. She walked up to me and she said, I'll tell you something. 5 years ago, she said, man, she was feeble in her body. She said, would you preach this word of God and till hell freeze over? Then you thaw it out and preach against it again. You stand on this word of God, don't never let anything ever stop you from the cause that God has called us to do. And she was just a feeble little old lady. Many people were saved under her ministry. I'm not going to desecrate that lady's life. But I'm definitely not going to desecrate Jesus' life. Because you saw the gentleman here when he was singing and ministering. And he took a whipping for me. So if he took a whipping for me, hang on, I say this, then I ought to have a hard time getting sick. Because he gave me the answer before I ever got the sickness. Did you know my answer was made for me before the sickness was? God is so far ahead of the devil. Before the devil could ever think of something bad to do, God thought of something right. God gave an answer before the devil could ever think of doing something bad. I made up my mind. Man, I can't lose. I cannot lose. I do get aggravated, and I close with this. Sometimes I get aggravated. God, why? Why are those people doing what they're doing? He said, I got some bad kids. That's what he told me. He said, I got some bad kids, Jesse. But I'm going to tell you something. They steal my kids. I said, boy, they're bad kids. Lord, they're bad. He said, well, pray for them. I get aggravated about it. I do. I'm still human. And I haven't grown to that place. I want to grow to the place like that gentleman said, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not this, Father, they're killing me. Kill five of them before I die, Lord. Just let me see you around you. Please, Lord. Crucify three or four of them, bless God. No, I preach in some of the coldest churches in America. I do. I preach in, I'm trans-denominational. Do you understand what that means? I preach in all of them. God, give God the glory. I preach in church that don't even believe in the Holy Ghost. Just look at me and go, I'm telling you one thing. I've preached in churches that you couldn't walk, get out and do this. They done put you in a stall. And it ain't in the front of the people. It's on the side. You couldn't pray for people if you wanted to. Unless you had a 34-foot long arm. You stuck up like that. I've preached and I've said, glory, and kicked the door off. They got me out of that stall. They said, that thing's expensive. It wasn't easy when people going. And then I got to some quote, some of those churches that knew enough about the word of God just to be dangerous. Say, I don't believe anything he's saying. I don't believe in that healing stuff. I don't believe in any of that faith stuff. That's not easy. I've looked at some crowd and said, God, just let them all go to hell. Let's get out of here. Serious, I've thought that. I'm not lying, I did. And the Lord said, control your thoughts. If I'd have thought like you, I'd have never got anybody saved. That's true. I believe if any ministry ever been attacked, it's Brother Copeland's ministry, Brother Hagin's ministry. My God. There ain't a book out there that his name not in it. Sometimes I pick up a book and I said, wonder what they're saying about Kenneth. This is what you're hearing, man. I said, that man's, and give that glory. I said, they got great grace in their lives. Great mercy. I mean, it seemed like people can't write a book without trying to attack someone. And I've never heard them attack anybody. And sometimes it made me mad. I wanted Kenneth to get up and say it. I'm going to kill every one of you. Sometimes he just won't see a little blood. But they never said nothing. Well, let's just pray, praise God. How many of y'all thought the same thing? Come on, be honest. How many times I've seen Brother Hagin, you know? I said, I just wish he'd go out there and say, well, the word of God said, don't you see? No, you don't see nothing. You know nothing. And maybe go backwards with them fingers instead of forwards. Man, and they would attack viciously. Then I wondered, why, God? Because there's freedom. What's the name of this meeting? Wings of Freedom. What will faith do for you? Set you free. In this life, this one, and the life to come. Don't you think the devil will attack it? He'll attack it every time, and he won't use hey, I've never heard a sinner talk bad about you, Brother Coleman. I have never heard any sinner. It's just those Pharisees and them sad you see people and them religious zealots. Got that look on you. What do you believe? I tell them a lot more than you. A lot more than you. I'll say this in close again. Got on a plane not long ago. Some of you may have heard me say this. Wasn't too long ago. And I sat down and I opened up my Bible and just to read a scripture or two. And I closed the Bible and just sat there and I was just thinking about the Word of God. And this black man got on a plane and he said, you're sitting in my seat. I said, sir. He said, you're sitting in my seat. He didn't say, excuse me. I believe you got the wrong seat. Like, that's happened at times, you know. He said, you're sitting in my seat, white man. And immediately, you could feel hostility in that plane. Like a priest of the staff, you could feel them women going. You know, women are like, man, a cat will whip a dog in a second, son. just slap the fire out of you. Boy, you can feel. And you saw it, the other men, they were like German Shepherd. I said, and I reached, got my boarding pass. And I said, I said, this is 10B. What do you have in your? He said, mine's 10B. And they mailed mine to me. I felt like saying, well, look here, Jack, they mailed mine to me too. I could have said that guy's the truth. I said, oh, we have a problem. Excuse me. And I got up. I said, we'll have to talk to the stewardess. We ought to talk. He said, this is my seat, white man. So I said, well, one of the 10A is open. What can you do? You know, it's kind of, you don't have a seat. Now I could have said, stewardess, you know, but already animosity, that devil's smart enough to cause animosity to come up all around that. And there was a black woman going, hoo, choo, woo, hoo. And she wasn't mad at me, she mad at him. Hoo, choo, hoo. She hot about something, I don't know what it was. I felt like saying, sick of mama. Nail that boy. But I didn't. So I waited and I said, excuse me, ma'am. I talked to her. I said, we have, I don't know if they made a mistake at the gate or whatever, but I have the same seat assignment as this gentleman. I said, is the plane full? Is everybody else on the plane? Yeah, we're about ready to close the door in the next 10 seconds. I said, I'll just take seat 10A. I didn't want to. I didn't want to. But I knew the Lord told me to sit by that man. So I sat by that man. He said, I tell you, when I want something, it's mine. And this other guy across me said, say, mister, you gonna let this guy talk to you like that? I said, yes, sir. What's the matter, you chicken? Chicken. I could have done like Foghorn Leghorn. I said, son, are you listening to my son? You know that big chicken on that cartoon? I said, son, are you listening to my son? I said, listening to my son. You know, but I did. I said, he's been suppressed for 200 years. He's got a lot of bitterness in his life. Boy, that's what people did. Y'all was there. Y'all was there. They all went, oh. I said, sir, you have been suppressed and beat on by the white man. And that's true. I didn't do that to you, but my ancestors did. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I guess if I had that much suppression against me, I'd probably feel the same way. I am sorry. I said, I don't want to cause a fire. I said, let me tell you something, mister. I'm no better than you are, and I'll drink from that same cup of water that you drink from. And he just looked at me. You could feel people in the claws going back in. You know, words can cause great anger or great blessing. He looked at me, he said, I knew I shouldn't have said nothing to you. He said, there's something about you. I said, yes, sir, and his name is Jesus. And the guy that told me, he went, oh, yeah, Jesus. 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 I could say he was frustrated. I said, yes, sir, you use his name every time you get mad. It's called being in vain instead of being in praise. And I had the attention of at least six rows of people. So I said, what should I do? I'm known for some radical things. He said, praise me. So I lifted my hands up, sitting down. Now, when you lift your hands up, people go. They look like they look. And I said, Father, I rebuke hatred and animosity because we were all wrong. But you was the only one right. I should bless these people. And this man over here is all flustered saying, gee. I said, you just help him. And I looked like that. Some of them went by and I said, bow your head.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I literally did that to break the power of the devil that was trying to cause trouble. See, what did you do? I got on. I sat down. I shut up. And I hung on. That's all I did. And I talked to that man about Jesus. He said, my mother come from Church of God of Prophecy. I said, well, she's probably a good warrior, prayer warrior. Yes, sir, she sure was. He said, oh, I called you, sir. I said, well, thank you. I said, I'll call you, sir. his spirit just began to calm down. And everybody else around to calm down. I said, you know, we got enough problems in the world. We'll try and create some more. I said, let's forget all this junk because we're people. I said, we're just people, man, that need Jesus desperately. And that's why Full Gospel Motorcycle Association, through the help of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, puts on Wings of Freedom. You watching by television, this Holy Ghost will flow right into your house. And he may do it on a glorified bike. I don't know. That could happen. But if you'll accept him and reach out to him, you can be free on the outside when you ride that bike, and you can be free on the inside. Freedom has a price to pay. You don't have to pay it. It's already been paid. You people that are listening to the sound of my voice, I believe this under the anointing of the Spirit of God. If we'll come together, I really believe this, there won't be no more hell angels and bandidos and whatever they got. If we just let our light shine, some of you tribe of Judah men, my God, man, you let that light flow. You've been on the bad side of it, and you've been on the good side. You just let Jesus flow. I promise you, you'll get on that bike, sit down, shut up, and hang on. You'll get to exactly where you're supposed to go, and you'll have fun traveling through. I mean that. I want you to stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand clap. Give him a good one. Glory to God. Give him a good one. Hallelujah.